T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track 4 games at once with multi-view mode. And catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Morning. Obviously, me and Donnie have a great relationship, and we go back, and I've got nothing but respect and admiration for him, and I think I owe him a lot to what he's done for me, you know, to get me to this point in my career, and you know, it's unfortunately that's the nature of the business, and I think everyone knows that that's kind of part of it, and it is what it is. It's sad to see him go, but I know he's gonna, you know, have success elsewhere.
Paige Thompson, as locker cleanout continues this week with the Sabres, and obviously lots to discuss around the NHL too, Marty, as we'll have Darren Dreger at the bottom of the hour. Welcome into Sabres Live. As we heard from Tage Thompson off the top, and we'll hear from many others on the heels of the season, on the heels of the dismissal of Don Granato as head coach, and the obviously ongoing search of the next coach. Quick takeaway from Tage's opening, or our presentation of Tage's remarks from yesterday.
Look, Paige's life has changed because of Don Granato a couple of times, right? Like when Don Granato would talk about how he saw Tage walk into the Northtown Center as a 17-year-old, I believe it was, and, you know, got on the ice to be a part of the National Development Program, the U.S. National Development Program. And he remembers watching him and saying, oh, this is a player right there. And then years later, they get, you know, reacquainted. And Don Granato to Tage, I think maybe the center position is something we'd like to explore next year. And all of a sudden, Tage is a centerman. And not just a centerman, a, like, goal-scoring top-end centerman, when, you know, we weren't sure where Tage was going to fit within the Sabres organization. So I think that obviously admiration, respect, and all of it is what you would think for somebody that puts you on the map. I have those people in my life through my career, right? Goalie coaches, junior coaches, American, like I remember Brian McCutchen, and people are going to say, who's Brian McCutchen again? He was the Amherst head coach. I hated him my first year. Man, I hated him. He's such a grumpy, like, oh man. And then the next year gave me everything. I was his guy. And then he was the assistant coach in Buffalo. And I really had confidence that I could talk to him. And, you know, yeah, I mean, time runs its course, but you have those people in your life. And I think Don Granato is always going to be that person, one of those person in Tage's life.
Right. And of course, everyone in this situation, when they're addressing the media, is talking a little bit about themselves, but I think most often you're going to hear big picture commentary in moments like this. And I think this particular topic that Tage was on, accountability, is definitely worth another listen.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think there's one thing you can pinpoint. I think there's obviously a lot of things that go into it. But I think if you're looking at, you know, probably two things that need to be corrected is accountability. I know that word gets thrown around a lot. And I think for me, accountability is consequences and, you know, actions. If you're not doing right things on the ice, there needs to be repercussions, whether it's being benched or in the press box, if you're not playing winning hockey. And I think consistency is the other thing. I think at times you could see that we were a great team, and other times we're too casual. And I think that's something that has got to be instilled in us. And it's that kind of goes back to the accountability thing as well. With the consistency, it's us in here in the room holding each other accountable if there's someone not playing the way they need to. And obviously needs to come from up top too. And that's something I don't think we had enough of this year.
Well, there's a lot in there, but I think, Marty, I'm most curious, as I often am, to hear your reaction to it based on your experience in trying to correct some of those, what he believes are correctable situations when it comes to accountability and consistency.
I love it and I hate it all at the same time. Is that a possibility? Like, can you love what he says but hate it at the same time?
100%.
You know, because he talks about accountability. You know, if you don't play to win, you need to be on the press box and be benched or whatnot. And I'm like, okay, everybody talks about, and I talk about it too, how the game is different. This generation of players is different. You got to deal with them differently, right? Like John Tortorella sit out Sean Couturier, and it becomes this, he's lost the room. He's lost the players. It's towards his old school, you know, manner, not good in the league. But then you have a guy like Tage Thompson says, oh, you know, you need to be in the press box. You need to pay consequences for your lack of effort. And I'm like, okay, so there's a happy middle. There's always a happy middle to be found, right? But I also think now, and this generation of players, the accountability has to come from within. You should be able to self-evaluate, go home and say, I didn't give my best effort today. I don't need the coach to say you're in the press box tomorrow to get the work done, to show up at practice and to show up the next game and give 100%. I've not been consistent the last month. I better work on consistency. I think there's both can be true, right? So when I hear it from Tage, I totally understand. I totally understand that, you know, at times this year we felt like, okay, like why is the number one power play going back on the ice when it seems like they're not really doing anything and the effort's not there? And Donna said the effort wasn't there. And so there's that accountability. But as a player, you have to have your own accountability. And then I say players coach, players play, coaches coach. Like I think it comes a very weird line when you say, well, the coach should have done this or maybe he should have done that. And, you know, I get it. I like the soundbite. I think it takes ownership to even say those things. I love it. But then I'm like, in the big picture, you know, I want everybody to have accountability. It just doesn't have to come from the coach. It doesn't have to come from the person in charge. It does come from everybody.
So when does that, or how does it, like, sorry, this is a
but
lot.
The list of people that I've kind of put together, right? We talked about a couple of days ago, John gets let go. The list is like, I have people on that list that I know have no problem holding people accountable, right? Okay. And I think that's the next step. Kevin Adams saying, I have a clear idea of what I want. I think that's at the top of the list. You know, developing people, as Don Granato did and did a great job. And if you're in the American League or if you're coaching junior hockey or if you're an assistant coach, there's a different mindset, right? Mm-hmm. And you can develop people and do a great job. But it comes a point where now you have to have a little bit more of an iron fist. And I feel like that's all that we've been hearing is going that direction right now.
Yeah. Is iron fist still really the right way to say it?
I don't know. I'd like to say I used iron because
I don't even know.
Right? A goalie analogy is to put the iron curtain, put the wall, right? And not let. So I always use iron. Iron is strong. Iron is hard. I use iron.
Okay. I'll let you run with that. And obviously we're going to, again, when the season begins anew in the fall, be talking about a team with a new coach and how it will deal with the pressure. So Tage talks about that.
And that's where we understand the frustration from the fans. And we just want them to know that we're tired of losing. It's not a fun thing to do, and those expectations, they've risen since last season, and we thought that we could exceed those expectations, and obviously we came short this year. So it's a tough pill to swallow, and I think it just leaves you hungry moving forward to not let it happen again.
Well, and again, these are things that will remain unanswered until they are able to start a season well, get on an early run, which they never were able to do at any point last year. And that goes back to the inconsistency. I mean, knowing what you know, in this three-year window of Tage, almost becoming a three-time 30-goal scorer, I think it's fair to ask, now, on the heels of what he just said and what his statistics have shown, what is required, expected from Tage Thompson, in your opinion, next year?
Well, he talked about consistency, and I think what we see is that Tage, despite the fact that he has been getting on some streaks, his biggest asset, and as a number one center, is to have consistency, to know that whenever you're going to play, the other team has to say, wow, we have to be really strong on Tage Thompson because he doesn't take nights off. He doesn't take shifts off, right? And I think he has that ability. I think with Alex Tuch and JJ Paterka this year, they started developing that identity a little bit more in the last 20 games of the season. And that was great to see. But it has to happen over a whole year. So, the consistency aspect of it, and it's not just in games. And I think one of the things that people have to understand is the accountability, the consistency, all of it. It starts now for next year. It starts in the summertime. How are you preparing yourself for next year? How are you practicing throughout the year? On the off day, on the morning skate, in the meetings, it's all of that together. So it's more than, well, Tage needs to get to 40 goals and 90 points and I be a threat on the power play again and everything. He needs to develop more than that. He needs to develop he's on the ice, and that work mentality is there all the time. And it was there, and it's been there, and we've seen it. Now it's about doing it every day. And I think the accountability and the pressure of all of it is going to push those guys to do even more of that over the summertime into next season.
Is it really worth talking about Paterka, Thompson, Tuch at this point? Or should we just let it go until the roster may or may not look different, which I think may is the expected answer here based on what the general manager has said and what people view from the outside. I think it took so long and there were so many variations of the top line last year that I don't know if I feel great just like from trying to engage here with you, with the audience. Like, I don't know if we should just keep talking Paterka, Thompson, Tuch, like it's going to be an automatic. Like, no. Am I wrong here?
No, you're 100%. And I think that the expectation for me is that the roster will look different. May is like the hope, but I think for me, the roster will look different. And mm-hmm. I'm not putting Thompson, Tuch, Paterka on my board right now. I'm saying, okay, Thompson, Tuch, I like. I like the size. I like the Tuch speed. I like everything. Okay, I'm keeping the left side open right now. Maybe that's Quinn, Paterka, Cousins comes back together. There's so many moving parts, right? But is it Dave Pignota, the fourthperiod.com, that reported like say big changes are coming to the Sabres roster, like are expecting to make changes to bring new people? And I think that for me is okay. Like, yeah, this is the time. Kevin Adams answered a question 2 days ago about the youth and the age and the players that he was going to go about. It goes 22, 32, 42. I want the right players to come in, and I want to find the right people. It wasn't about we need to get people between 23 and 26 because that's like our nucleus of players. It was 22, 32, 42. I don't care. I'm looking at players. And so, yeah, there will be changes. And now I'm like, could easily be a Honestly, Patrick Kane wants to come to Buffalo, let's say. Well, now all of a sudden the roster changes. We have to wait until we see what that roster is going to be like before we can start saying it's going to be Peterka, Tuck, Thompson.
Well, you mentioned Cousins, so why don't we transition to that just on the year that was for Dylan and what lays ahead.
Obviously, it wasn't the season any of us envisioned. And, you know, it hurts that it's over. None of us are ready for it to be over. We expected a lot more. And, you know, it just flat out wasn't good enough. As players and as a team, we didn't perform to what we needed to. And, you know, there's no excuses. There's nothing we can say other than it sucks. But, you know, we did learn a lot, I think, this year. And, you know, it's we don't want to keep saying that. We learned a lot, take from it. But, you know, we did learn. Everything this year is just going to make us better, the adversity. And I think we, you know, after the year before, kind of humbled us a little bit. And all that's going to do is push us harder and motivate us more to come out next year and prove what we can do as a team.
Cousins, Power, Byram to represent Canada at the Worlds. Is Dylan Cousins the player among the forward group to be most impacted by the changes that we just alluded to might happen to the roster? I.e., does Dylan, you know, actually, I don't need to add to it. Just take what I said and run with it here.
Okay, so take it what you said and run with it. I think that when I look at the roster for next year, I've got penciled Tage, number one center, Cousins, number two center. I don't think that all of a sudden Cousins' lack of performances this year move him down to a third line center role, and then they're going to add in that top six position and say we need a second line center to fit in between Thompson and Cousins. I think it's 1-2. I think that supporting that group will help him, but I believe Dylan had a bad year. Bad year, it happens. And I think he'll be one to really bounce back next year. I really, really believe that, and I trust that he will.
Yeah, I think I'm viewing it more like, what if it feels like more of a top nine? And therefore, again, like if you go back to what the general manager said 2 days ago in his description of what Cousins should be like to play against. Mm-hmm. From the opposing side, it's certain, and not that you can't be a top, you know, two center on a team and be more defensive minded, but it certainly felt like the onus from the GM was like, I don't know if it starts there, but it just felt like the urgency has to be on make it miserable for everybody else. And what I'm viewing is an opportunity for others in the forward group to emerge, maybe early in the season, whatever. Like, just let Dylan be the starting point of being a really, really, really good two-way player. And then we'll see what clicks back in offensively. I don't know.
But again, and this is just the way that I look at it, is Dylan said many things this year. I'm paid to score goals. I think that in the end, himself, it almost sounds like production is the number one part of his evaluation, right? And then two will be, am I a well-rounded player? Because he earned his contract on production, like and other things as well, but he earned his contract on production. So when I hear Dylan talk and when I hear him then through the year talking about himself and the lack of production, I feel like he wants to be a producing center. Look, perfect example was Philippe Deneau when he was with the Montreal Canadiens. Philippe Deneau was, you know, a top line center, but more asked to play in a defensive role. And Philippe Deneau moved on from Montreal because he wanted a more or better offensive role. Not that he got it in LA.
What do you think of Philippe Deneau first?
Defense.
Thank you. So this is the point. Is I think that's where I'm viewing Cousins having to launch into this year.
Yeah.
I love the comparison. It's fantastic. Although,
but even Philippe Deneau wanted to be an offensive center, then right. The league put him in his place, and the team put him in his place. Dylan Cousins right now speaks like he wants to be an offensive center, but I do agree with you that the league is kind of sending him towards a role right now that you're going to have to accept. And I don't know that he's ready right this second to accept it.
Right. But whether maybe he doesn't have to, like, you know what I'm saying? Like,
yeah,
he doesn't have to think that, but he has to act it. And I think the whole point here is when we examine Dylan's game in the fall, let's make sure we do a better job of analyzing all the other stuff beyond the points. Because if we start finding the areas to showcase where he is doing that, I have no question that the points are going to come. And again, we said this when Tage got his deal. We said it when Cousins got his deal. They don't have to replicate the exact numbers that they were posting at the time of those contract extensions. Something a little bit lower in production is still value added to that. Like, it still represents so market value. They don't have to be 80 and 100 point guys. But just let me say, with Deneau, I said it's a fantastic comparison. But it's actually not, because Deneau never had a 30-goal season like Cousins. But they're still comparable because of the other stuff. So I love kind of where we look at it, or how we
Let's see. I'm doing some work this summer because I have a day off, and I'm like, I'm going to pull out clips from players around the NHL that I want Dylan Cousins to be like. Okay,
this sounds like an assignment for tomorrow's guest, Shayna Golden.
It could very well be. Now, you know what the first clip I sent Dylan Cousins? The 3-on-3 overtime against Florida when...
Not real hockey.
Was that?
It's not real hockey. Let's not do 3-on-3.
No. But when Barkov took the puck away from Dylan Cousins, I'm like, look, that's like, you can still have offense, but the offense came from a great defensive play by Alexander Barkov. And he picked your pocket, Dylan. And that's something that you would have to reciprocate. You'd have to do that to Barkov. Do you think you can do that to Barkov right now? The answer would probably be, well, I haven't done it this year. Okay, that's where you got to get to, right? Let's look at Anze Kopitar. Anze Kopitar has got great numbers offensively. But I'm going to show you all the defensive plays that lead to offense. Not because he was great on the power play, not because he's great in transition, because he started from a defensive positioning. He took the puck away from his defense, being hard to play on, and then he created offense. Those are the guys I'm showing you, saying you can be one of those guys. You can. You don't have to just say, I had 12 points in the last 8 games. Okay. Maybe you had 7 points in 8 games. How did you get those 7 points? That's right. What I want.
Well, and then building off of that, it, meaning having a foundation in your game, the overall hope would be, if offense is harder to come by based on the matchups and, you know, the 5-on-5 play, be that much more excited to get the cookies on the power play. Like, these guys need to be so much hungrier on the power play. And I just see like that as a natural evolution of like, okay, we are winning this game right now 5-on-5, or at the very least we're having it. So let's go out and take care of business on the power play and be difference makers. Cause again, that was the obvious area of the year that didn't make the biggest difference, even when they were getting terrific goaltending from Ukko-Pekka Luukkonen, who of course was speaking to the media as well, not just about like the volume of, you know, the workload this year, but bigger picture and longer term, of course.
I think that's what everybody wants to do, is have a longer contract. And, I like Buffalo. I spend, you know, more or less, 5 years here, as you know, in camps, and now even playing now. So I like it here. I think we have a really, really good group of guys here who, as you said, are signed for a longer contract. So in the end, I don't know what's going to happen, but you know, I for sure would not be against it.
Restricted free agent Ukko-Pekka Luukkonen. Projection.
Projection. He's not going to like my projection, just because I mean, everybody would love a long-term deal, right? And that would be great. I just wouldn't be in a place to feel comfortable giving out a long-term deal. And I look at, you know, players that have signed, players like Ukko-Pekka Luukkonen, around the same age, having played one good year and what they've done and what they've been rewarded with over the last few years, like Samuel Montembeau, 3 years, $3.1 million on average, right? He's 27 years old, a little older, but still, like one really, maybe more, maybe two solid years, three-year deal, $3.1 million. Philip Gustafson, Minnesota, 25 years old, 3 years, 3.75, coming off a fantastic year. I get it. And then you have Stuart Skinner. He's 24 years old when he signed his deal after a, in the middle of a really good year, 3 years, 2.6 million. So I'm like, 3 year, 3 million, 3 years, 3.1, 3 years, 3.3, like pick whatever, like in that range, right? 3 years, 10 million total. I think that's a probably very comparable numbers. Now, seven years. When it comes to goaltending, I get a little scared with those things because when you put yourself into that position and then all of a sudden it doesn't work, it's one of two. It's not one of 12. You can't bury a goalie the same way you can move a player and say, hey, it's one of 12 forwards or one of six or seven defensemen. One of two goaltenders, when you miss, it's hard. I think everybody wants a long-term deal. I get it. I just don't see that that's in the comparables when it comes to Ukko-Pekka Luukkonen.
Obviously, the expectation would be Devin Levi as a part of a tandem with Luukkonen next year. We'll talk Amerks later on in the show. Another standout performance from Levi. Another big night for Jiří Kulik in a win over Toronto. Again, that's later in the show. Immediately up next, it's Hockey Insider Darren Dreger here on Sabres Live.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
We're back with more of Sabres Live, presented by Seneca Resorts and Casinos. Nothing else comes close.
Tonight is the final night of the NHL's regular season, and there's still a position or two to be determined in the Western Conference as LA and Vegas could flip from number three to in their division to the number two wild card. But outside of that, most everything has been written about, talked about, accomplished. Kucherov gets to 100 assists last night, joining McDavid. But there was also some finality in one particular market last night, and that was presumably Arizona. Hockey Insider Darren Dreger is with us now. Dregs, I'll forego the favorite memory all time in Coyotes history for you, and just focus on what is in the immediate future here, i.e. this afternoon and then in the days ahead.
Yeah, well, we'll begin with the news. Unfortunately for me, I have long history with the Arizona Coyotes. That dates back to Winnipeg. I was in Winnipeg when they became the Phoenix Coyotes and saw what it did to that market. But yeah, if we fast forward to this afternoon, there's an NHL Board of Governors call at 3 p.m. Eastern. And according to multiple high-level ownership sources, I mean, it is fully expected that the vote to relocate the Arizona Coyotes to Salt Lake will be approved. Now, we don't know the full details yet. Like, what does that transaction look like? You know, what is the full number? What's the relocation fee attached? All of that. That'll come out in the wash here in the hours ahead, maybe the next day or two. What's interesting, aside from the finality here, is that Ryan Smith, who's the owner of the Utah Jazz, who will soon be the owner of the Arizona Coyotes, the Utah Coyotes, whatever they're going to be called, basically has his private jet waiting. And he's going to head to Arizona as soon as that vote has been approved. And he's going to meet with every player, the hockey operations department, to introduce himself and, you know, put a face to the name and perhaps provide a little bit of introductory direction on what his bigger plan is here. So it's a tough day for Arizona Coyotes fans, for the good people in Arizona that, unfortunately, no different than Winnipeg, are going to lose their jobs. You know, there's always the ripple effect when things like this happen. And many good people are going to lose their jobs in attachment to the National Hockey League and the Coyotes in Arizona. But you have to look at the bigger picture and a brighter future for this organization. The players are resigned. They know it's coming. Yeah, it's going to be a complicated offseason for everybody associated, but it's time to give these players a chance to one more time play in an NHL market and in an NHL environment.
We see on MSG right now the Coyotes going to the bench after the game yesterday and hugging Stan, long-term equipment manager. He was there in Winnipeg before, went to Arizona.
Yeah.
As you pointed out, staff may not follow along. They may not keep going. Players, and some of them are not so happy. I think it's Clayton Keller that built like a big house and, you know, in Arizona, all of a sudden you got a put the for sale. You thought you were going to be there for 15, 20 years, whatever. You put the for sale sign, you move out to Salt Lake City. Any word from the PA, the players, on the dislike of what's happening right now?
No. And I would ask, how many NHL players have vacation homes around the NHL or vacation destinations? I'm sure Clayton Keller is going to be fine. And if, you know, he doesn't like the idea of operating two homes, well, then he can rent this one in Arizona or flat out sell it. I'll check the real estate market for him if it's a problem, and we'll see. From a Players Association perspective, I think this is important to note because some media don't have their facts correct. You know, when you sign your player contract, you're signing that player contract with the club, the organization. You're not signing it with the state of Arizona or a city, right? Yeah. So, look, I mean, if any one player doesn't want to move to Salt Lake, well, that's his prerogative. I mean, he might have reasons. He might have family reasons, whatever his reason is. Okay, then go to Bill Armstrong, who will be moving with the Coyotes as general manager, and say, I want to trade. And here's a list of organizations that I'd like to go to. Again, it's bigger picture, and uncertainty can be challenging. You know, these players are going to be compensated. You know, all of their moving expenses are going to be covered. There's going to be a stipend, I think, for an extended period of time to cover some of their monthly expenses. I'm sure there'll be a negotiated coverage for if you've got to break something like cable TV leases or your lease in general, and there's penalties that have to be incurred. That'll all be covered. So it's going to be an inconvenience to some players. But they can't just flat out pound their fist on the table and say, I'm not going. I mean, the only way out is to ask for a trade. And I don't anticipate we're going to see that from any of these guys.
All right. Who's behind the bench for the Sabres when they make their first trip to Salt Lake City next year?
Yeah, I mean, that's a loaded question. And we can't answer it because the process has just nicely gotten going. But true to his word, I mean, Kevin in his media availability said that it was happening, you know, in terms of the process being underway. So I'm reluctant to identify because you know what I've learned over the years is that you got to be careful assembling these lists because 9 times out of 10, when names get on these lists, unless they've been verified and they're legit candidates through good sourcing, really all it becomes is, you know, the cycle, the wheel just continues to turn. But because Adam said that he needs to, wants to, and will hire experience, that's where it gets more interesting. I don't believe that there's been direct communication with Craig Berube yet. He'd be a name that would be high on my list, just the way he helped build the St. Louis Blues into a Stanley Cup champion. I mean, why wouldn't that be a name that you'd investigate and consider? But then you have to do a deeper dive and look at some of the other guys. I think Todd McClellan, dispatched by the Los Angeles Kings, is going to have options. Whether or not Buffalo is one of those, we'll find out here in the near future. Does Todd really want to dive right back into it? Or does he want to take his time, like a lot of experienced coaches do, and make sure that you understand what the landscape truly looks like? And that's where it gets tricky for Kevin Adams. And maybe by extension, Steve Staios in Ottawa, right? Or any other team that's in the market. You know, Tom Fitzgerald just had his media avail today with I believe with the New Jersey Devils. And I didn't hear it. I was traveling, but I do know that he's made it clear that, yeah, he has interest in Travis Green in the interim, but his interest in is hearing what Green's plan is for moving this organization forward. So that's not establishing that you're ripping the interim title off of Travis Green. That's telling the world that you're going through a bit of a process. So, you know, and what happens if a team gets knocked out of the first round of the Stanley Cup playoffs somewhat unexpectedly, you know, with a coach that's been there a while, if you will. And I'm loath to identify a name. You know, I look at that Florida series. Paul Maurice isn't going anywhere if the Florida Panthers lose to Tampa Bay. You know, John Cooper, he's been there a long time, highly decorated. If they lose to Florida, there's no shame in losing to Florida, given the year that the Tampa Bay Lightning have had. Is it possible? Maybe. Sheldon Keefe, maybe. You know, that's where we're at in this process. But again, that's why I think it's a tricky one for Kevin Adams and the Sabres.
Now, 2 years ago when Kevin Adams hired Don Granato full-time, removed the interim tag, I don't know that Buffalo was a destination at the top of veteran coaches' list, right? It was a good young team, but it doesn't seem to have gone anywhere. And now it's a different situation. Is Buffalo higher and a beautiful destination, a beautiful team, a great place for a coach to say, I want to go there. Has it changed?
Beautiful destination of choice. Yes, it is.
Is it a great place to go?
Yes. Yes. To be an NHL head coach, it is. And that has everything to do with looking at the roster and where the Sabres are expected to be. Now, you know, the work isn't done. And again, Adams, you know, made himself accountable and is responsible for this team being a playoff contending team next year. Coaching is a part of it. The players have to do more than they did this year. But that's where the coach comes in the prep work and working harder in practice and all the stuff that we've heard and whatnot. But in answering your question, Marty, sure. You know, the experienced guys that we talk to, I don't think that Craig Berube, if Kevin Adams engaged with Craig Berube, do I think that he'd have interest in being the next Sabres head coach? Yes, I do. You know, and then go down the list of the experienced guys from there. You know, whether or not Dean Evason is a fit. I think Dean Evason's a good coach. He's developed a high standard. He holds guys accountable. Of course, Buffalo would be of interest to him. Gerard Gallant has been out there a while. His deal just expired or will expire in the near future with the New York Rangers. I mean, of course, Buffalo would be a team that he would want to coach. But it's less about just wanting another coaching job and recognizing that the Buffalo Sabres aren't that far away from being a really good team.
Well, when you mentioned Ottawa and then, you know, New Jersey and recognizing that there could still be more change, do you feel like, even without mentioning names, Drags, do you feel like there is one of these teams, whether it's Ottawa, Buffalo, New Jersey, somebody else, that is in a more urgent position, i.e. they don't want to wait around. They think they know which guy they want and that they would be likely to act sooner here than wait till... No?
No, I don't. And that's a bit weird, to be fair. Because again, if I'm a general manager who's in the market for a coach and I paid attention to what Adam said in his media avail, again, he's laid it out. He's hiring an experienced guy. So that, you know, maybe it's one of the men that we've already mentioned. But when I think of experience, that comes in many forms. I think we've talked about this on the segment before. There are 25 NHL assistant coaches with NHL head coaching experience. I mean, that's a lot. And I don't know that Adams' list would be that long, but I know Steve Staios, you know, his list is that long. You know, there's a number of those guys. And define what experience is. Does it have to be NHL head coaching experience? Does it have to be that? I mean, you know, there's a lot of buzz around David Carl and Denver and the NCAA. I don't see David Carl as being a fit in Buffalo based on the criteria established by Adams. And with all due respect to David Carl, I think he is the flavor of the season. No different than Nate Lehman was not that long ago, right? Good coaches. I'm not questioning this, But that Pioneers program is top notch. Now that, you know, they've recruited terrifically well. The players are great. I just don't think that Dave Carle has the level of experience that a lot of the NHL teams in the market for are looking for at this point. But what about John Gruden? His name has been out there in attachment with the Ottawa Senators. So I think what Adam said about what he wants may have poked Stajos and maybe some of the other guys as well. I should mention St. Louis because we're on the coaching theme. Don't know this for certain, but it sounds like management in St. Louis liked the job that Drew Bannister did and has done throughout that organization coming up from the American League. It's not a lock that he gets the full-time head coaching gig, but I was told by a source that I trust that it's pretty likely. So there's always opportunity for change of heart, but we'll see.
Okay, a few things that we will have you think about now until it happens. Luukkonen contract, we discussed it in the first segment today. Something that I want you to be on top of, Drags.
Okay,
like, I'll get
be
the
on
fingers
it.
Going. Yeah. And also, like, roster moves. Like, I'm looking at Kevin Adams. Has said he wants to add to the roster. He's going to be aggressive. He's, you know, going to find a coach. There's a lot on his plate. But
yeah.
Could that come also by, I don't know, like, trades, buyouts? Like, you know, is there all of this on the floor right now for Kevin Adams to move this organization forward?
I think it has to be, doesn't it? You know, when you put yourself on the clock, which clearly Adams has, right? You know, not making the playoffs isn't his fault, but he's the architect of this roster. And he's been in the chair long enough where there's got to be a significant stride made here. Well, how do you do that? You know, it doesn't happen magically by firing a coaching staff and then bringing in a new group and pointing the finger at the players and saying, you guys need to be better. All right, well, okay, bring in some other pieces. You know, I know that he doesn't like the idea that, you know, we in the media use the excuse of it being a young team, but it is still pretty much a young team, even though you've got some big contracts. So, you know, is there a higher character player or two that you can bring in via trade, shake things up a little bit, right? You know, maybe make somebody uncomfortable in that core in Buffalo, whomever that is. And I don't know who it is, but find a fit where you acquire a piece that maybe gives you a little bit more grit, maybe drags you into the fight, maybe can pull you through those games where the energy level is low. And that might not be one player. That might be a couple of players. Maybe it's three. And are you sold? And Marty, I'll throw this right back at you. Are you sold on goaltending? The goaltending in the second half was better. In the first half, it wasn't. And that put Ottawa in a real, Buffalo, same with Ottawa, but put Buffalo in a real tough place. So if you're not sold on goaltending and all of a sudden UC Saros is available or one of the Boston goalies are available and you feel like you can get in that game, all right, well, that's on the general manager to get in that game and make the call.
I think it's all on the floor. I think, you know, buyout, and I'm not saying they'll buy out Jeff Skinner, but I think that's a contract that everybody's talked about. Goaltending, you know, how can you add? And I think that's all going to be on the floor.
Has to be.
Nina Solmark's not coming back to Buffalo, but Jeremy Swayman could be in the track. I've been saying it for over a year now, so I keep repeating myself, Greg.
If it happens, you get the credit. See,
I don't want to do that.
Man. Yeah.
Consistency and accountability, words we started the show with. Marty's being both right now. Dregs, thank you. We'll talk to you next week, if not sooner.
All right, guys, you have a great weekend. Enjoy the playoffs.
There he is, Darren Dreger, our hockey insider from TSN. We'll hit on the Amerks. That is the co-North leading Amerks when we come back. Stay with us.
We're back with more of Sabres Live. Presented by Seneca Resorts and Casinos. Nothing else comes close.
The road to first place in the AHL North runs directly through Utica. How is that possible? Utica is in last in the division, and Rochester is tied with Syracuse for top spot, 85 points with two games to go. Amerks do not hold the tiebreaker. Well, let me elaborate. Utica will be home to Syracuse tomorrow. Then Utica will be at Syracuse on Saturday. And then Utica will be home to the Amerks on Sunday. So they truly control the fate of the division, but the Amerks would like to think that they do based on last night's great win over the Marlies. Marty, this was impressive again from Yuri Kulik. He's got 5 goals in the last 2, 6 in the last 4, 8 in his last 8, 10 in his last 15, and yet he didn't have the game winner in a 3-1 win. It was Brandon Biro's shorthanded goal that was the difference maker.
Yeah, obviously Kulik has been really good, and that's a great sign, but Biro was able to get a little 5-0 fan shot. Like, he missed a shot and fooled Matt Murray, and then the Amherst got that 3-1 win, but Kulik has been shooting the puck so good and going to his left. You mentioned it before the show, but like, even that goal that we showed on MSG, you think he'd come back to the backhand because that's usually his move. No, goes to his left and opens up the blocker side. Kulik has been hot. The Amherst have been rolling of late, and it's great to see when you're that close to the playoffs.
34 of 35 for Devin Levi last night, too. Not to be overlooked in all of this. Amherst don't have any back-to-backs here, so the assumption, if these games matter, he's playing them.
He's going to play them, and he's been playing great. And now we hope that that's a long playoff run because the experience would be great. And then we, move on to next year.
All the Eastern Conference playoff matchups are set. What do you think transpires in the West tonight? Vegas going to end up 3 in the Pacific, or what do we?
Vegas is going to stay there. They'll beat Anaheim, and then they'll be there, and it's going to be Edmonton, Vegas in the first round. And so that means Vancouver will play LA in the first round. But if you're the Edmonton Oilers, I don't think that you want to play Vegas, but I don't think you want to play LA either. I think LA could cause some issue with the Edmonton Oilers, especially defensively.
It would be Dallas, LA, if LA.
Dallas, LA. Sorry.
Yeah,
yes.
Yeah. Happy birthday, Cody McCormick.
Cody McCormick birthday. Come on. I should go over to his garage and sit and have a few drinks.
Born on this date in 1983. Thanks for being with us. Full show. And of course, if you missed any of the Sabres locker cleanout, check it out on sabres.com. See you tomorrow.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track 4 games at once with multi-view mode. And catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.